make my bed, take out the trash, empty the dishwasher, clean my room.
Listen, young man, if you don't straighten up, I'm going to tell your father.
As if that would make a difference.
Wow. 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 Parents, are you listening? Timmy's an actor, by the way, but maybe not so much when in your home or in somebody's home. You know, you got an idea what we're talking about today from Intentional Living? Yes, indeed. We're talking about our kids. We're going back to our roots. We're going to have a parent talk, and we're going to discuss what motivates your child to misbehave. You know, one of the most intentional little creatures on the planet are children. Their behavior is not random. It may feel that way, but they have a goal. They have a direction they're taking in their life. And we're going to talk about that today. I am Randy Carlson. This is Intentional Living Center, and parenting is our focus today. And if you have a question for me on parenting, give me a call. 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717. In just a moment, we're going to play a clip from a DVD teaching that I did on this topic called What Motivates Your Child to Misbehave? And I'm going to talk about the power of belonging, that at the core of our lives, we believe that God has put us into on this planet to belong to each other. We see that even in the book of Genesis. It's not good for man to be alone, and he created woman, and God created family. He created all of these things that we look at as a family today in terms of his design. It was his purpose, and God has created within the heart of every human being, every man and woman, this sense a belonging, the need to belong. We'll talk about that today as well. But why do kids misbehave? Maybe you have a question for me. You know, there's reasons. I'm going to tell you the three things, the three levels or the three motivators, if you please, of misbehavior in a child's life, and then give you some tips that can be helpful. Real practical things today from the Intentional Living Center. Come join me with your question, 888-888-1717. We're going to talk about why kids misbehave right now. Here's the key. Write this down. Every person wants to matter and contribute and belong. And you'll find that all misbehavior in life, adult misbehavior and child misbehavior, is in this pursuit to matter, the pursuit of contributing, the pursuit of making a difference, the pursuit of belonging is what drives us. We got a precious little grandbaby, Kylie. I resisted bringing pictures because if I got started, it would just be ridiculous. She's so precious. This thing of wanting to belong and, you know, feel special starts very early in our lives, doesn't it? She comes over to Papa's house. That's me. And she comes in the door and I say, "Hi, Kylie. Who's this?" She goes, "You, Papa." And I said, "Don't forget it." So she came up the other day, she was at our house, and she was standing in front of me, and she had her little red pants on, little frilly stuff on the bottom. I go, "Oh, Kylie, those are so cute." She smiles, and she says, "See my shoes? Cute too?" See? Isn't that what we do in life? Isn't that what we do in our marriages too? Am I okay? Do I matter? Am I still cute? Wow. I haven't heard that in a little bit. You know, that little Kylie Koo, as I call her, number one grandchild, firstborn, right? Number one in the order. And she's now seven. So she's grown up since that was put on DVD. But the message is still the same for all of us when we're little children, as we're teenagers, as we're adults. We want to belong. We want to fit in. We want to be a part of something. Why do you think gangs are so popular? Why do you think people look for clubs to be a part of? And people, that's why at God's an original plan is within the family, that the family would be the ultimate place of belonging and building that kind of place where a child can be nurtured and instructed and disciplined, which means discipleship, to train and teach and prepare a child for life. And that's one of the greatest goals we have. Every child's uniquely different, but prepare them. What are the things they need to know before they leave home? Okay, got questions and a lot of Facebook activity as well, so let's go. Wendy, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Appreciate your call. Good, thank you. Good, appreciate your call.
Thank you.
What's your question?
So I have four kids, and my oldest one has been acting out, mm-hmm. and then it's kind of like feeding off of the other children as well. So he talks back. He fights with his younger siblings. He thinks he knows everything, and he pretty much thinks he's an adult and he can do what he wants.
Uh-huh. And he's your oldest?
He has a bad attitude. Yes, he's 15.
Uh-huh. And is this recent, or has this been kind of a growing problem?
Well, ever since he started actually ninth grade. So he's a high school. He's in high school. He's a ninth grader. And it's just like he's been hanging out with the wrong crowd, you know, and I've been giving him advice. You know, I've been praying for him daily, you know, that God protect him, you know, and so forth. But it seems to be I'm not getting anywhere with him, you know, and he's starting to kind of listen to what I'm saying now, because he does actually play basketball. He's involved in sports. All my kids are in sports, but mm-hmm. I'm just struggling right now with all my kids right now.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Now, you say a lot of is dad involved in parenting?
Yes, he is involved, yes.
Okay, and is he active in terms of working as a team and parenting?
He actually is, but I know we have a lot of differences and so forth. So he's a screamer and a yeller, and I'm pretty calm, you know.
Well, listen, Wendy, the best advice I can give to a couple or to a parent when it comes to parenting is for us as parents to be on the same page, to have a strategy, a game plan, and be consistent. One of the biggest failures that we make in parenting is, you know, one parent could be over authoritarian, too powerful. The other parent can be too permissive, too giving in, kind of like a teeter-totter, you know, where you're going up and down and up and down. The kid's in the middle saying, wow, I can play this. This is fun, watching them go back and forth. They know which button to push and which parent to go to and not to go to on certain situations. A united front has a word picture that I think we need in parenting, where mom and dad are on the same page, and it's very clear with a 15-year-old who's lipping you and really disrespectful. You know, dad needs to step up, and the two of you need to sit down, not yelling. That's not helpful, not overreacting, not underreacting. One of the things I say, overreacting hurts, but underparenting hurts as well. And if that were my 15-year-old, I would be sitting down if I were in that situation. I'd say, look, you know, you're 15. When's driving come along? 16, 17, maybe 18, maybe whenever you get to a place where you decide to be respectful to your mom and dad. We're still your parents. In a few years, you're going to be on your own. But listen, you got to be clear. Driving is a privilege. Going out and having, you know, extra hours with your friends is a privilege. Doing the things that you'd like to do is a privilege. Those are not rights. Those are privileges in this home. And you earn those by showing respect. That's one thing. And by being honest. And at the same time, we're going to be respectful of you. We need to be respectful parents and in turn having expectations of respect from our children. If you want to drive a car around here, you're going to be respectful. And I think setting that expectation up front is important. But Wendy, the best thing I could suggest for you two is you guys getting on the same page as mom and dad. I really do. I think if you can do that, you're going to be a lot better off.
Okay, well, I really appreciate your advice, and I am actually going to sit down with his father and I am with my son and take all the advice that you actually gave me as well and keep on praying, and hopefully my situation actually gets better, you know, and actually do it with all the other kids as well, you know, not only him, but the other ones also.
Yeah, you got younger ones. Well. Okay, I tell you what, hang on. I want to send you a copy of What Motivates Your Child to Misbehave. This is a DVD teaching that talks about these different levels of misbehavior. And by the way, let me say to everyone, this month we've been making this entire teaching available to everyone who joins in support of the Ministry of Intentional Living. If you believe that raising kids, this next generation, is important, and you're a parent or a grandparent with younger children, and you understand that if you can get behind the eyes of your kids and understand some strategies for parenting, you're going to be better off, we want to send this to you as you share a gift with the ministry, okay? Check it out by going to theintentionallife.com. You know, we look at King David in the Bible, in the Old Testament. And the Bible says he's a man after God's own heart. But if you study Scripture, you know, he may have been a man after God's own heart and the king of Israel, but he was a crummy father. In fact, it says in 1 Kings chapter 1, let me just read what it says. It says, now Adonijah, the son of Haggith and David, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. David's getting old at this point. And one of his sons rears his head, who wasn't in line for that position, says, I will be king.
And he prepared for himself chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And listen to this. And it says his father David had never rebuked him at any time. Isn't that interesting? There's a man after God's own heart, but he didn't discipline. I've always wondered, we don't read it in Scripture, but David may have been a man after God's own heart, but he also was a man of flesh and sin. And you wonder how much of his busyness or how much of his guilt of not being the father that he needed to be or whatever caused him to not to be the parent that his kids needed. Wow.
That's an excerpt from the What Motivates Your Child to Misbehave DVD. And on there, I talk about the three approaches to parenting. They're really pretty clear when you think about them. There's the powerful parent, the parent that has to be in charge, very controlling. It could be through yelling or, you know, whatever, but just a very powerful parent. It could be even through benevolent dictatorship, you know, where you're benevolent and loving, but you just micromanage in a very powerful parent. And the other extreme, of course, would be the permissive parent, the parent that, you know, just doesn't want to rock the boat, fearful to not be liked, and, you know, finds themselves getting frustrated because their kids are doing things, but yeah, at the same time, they're not sure what to do and become permissive. We teach around here what we call intentional parenting, where we step up, we be a parent, we do it with a backbone, but we do, when we discipline, we understand that discipline is not punishment. Discipline is discipleship. It's training and teaching, and there's a level of accountability. There's holding our kids accountable, holding ourselves accountable, you know, learning about children, knowing about the development, what's appropriate at certain ages of development. Many times parents will overreact to a two-year-old when a two-year-old's being a two-year-old. That's what two-year-olds do. You're going to parent a two-year-old, it's going to be different than a five-year-old. In fact, last night we were at a little year-end play for our Kinsley, our second granddaughter, Evan and Kelly's second. And she's five now, and so they were there doing the year-end school thing at the Christian school. And they started with the two-year-olds. So the two-year-olds come up, and they perform, and then the threes, and then the fours, and the fives, and so on. And Don and I were commenting, look at the developmental stages. Every year, you know, the first year, they couldn't pay attention, and they were wiggling every place. By the time you got up to kindergarten, there was some semblance that they're starting to grow up a little bit, you know. And sometimes as parents, we don't understand the developmental stages of kids. Do some reading. Do some studying. Understand what's developmentally appropriate for the stage that your child is in. That's an important thing to do. Okay, let's get to Cassandra in Florida with a question today. Hi, Cassandra.
Hello.
What's your question today?
Okay, Dr. Randy, we are at our wit's end with my three-year-old. We have a seven-year-old, a three-year-old, and a newborn. Okay. And the three-year-old is very strong-willed. He's willfully disobedient. He just does whatever he wants to. He hits all of them. When it came time to potty training, he told us that he didn't want to do it, and so he wasn't going to do it, and he hasn't.
Mm. Well, he's in a power struggle, and it probably got worse when the baby came, didn't it?
Definitely.
Yeah. He's a very strong-willed child. Let me ask this. Who's the strong-willed parent in the family, you or your husband?
I'd say me.
Okay. Are you a pretty powerful parent?
I am.
Okay. One of the things we know about parenting, Cassandra, is kids learn from their parents, right? And powerful parents, I've observed over the years, tend to raise more powerful children. And it's just a part of life. You know, you want to do a good job, but sometimes we get too powerful and we micromanage. And you get a powerful kid coming up with a powerful parent, but they're going to be knocking heads. You know, I was on more on the powerful side as a parent. And our daughter, Andrea, was a pretty powerful person in terms of knowing what she wants and a strong will. But at the same time, it's grown up to be, you know, now as a woman with married and a couple kids, she's got that conviction and strength. So I always tell parents, congratulations if you have a strong-willed kid. But as a parent, you've got to know that power breeds power. And if you can stand aside from the power, not get sucked into the power, not find yourself acting like a three-year-old yourself, that's a huge step in the right direction. As being a parent. Now, there are such things as, you know, environmental things going on in the marriage or in the family. There could be some things going on in the child's life that need to be looked at with from a new eyes, maybe getting some evaluation as a family or with a counselor if you think that it's out of hand. But generally, what I encourage parents to do is to parent up and power down. In fact, that's one of the statements I use. Parent up and power down. Have a strategy. Hold on. I want to send you a copy of the DVD as well, because it just really lays out some of the practical teaching that I don't have time to get into for a whole, you know, just in a brief phone call. But what motivates your child to misbehave? Hang on. We'll send it to you. It's our gift to you, Cassandra in Florida. If you have some questions, call back later, and we'd love to talk to you.
We are in a family business. It's father, mother, my husband, I work sometimes, and my sister is there, plus there's other people there as well. We are a close family, and there's a good family relationship, so we're together at all the family things, and we're together every day at the office, and we also all go to church together.
Yeah, that's a family business right there for you. And whenever I hear these stories and they keep coming in, I smile because I can relate. You know, we've been through this in our own work and ministry over the years, working with family, have seen some great opportunities to work together, and it's been a joy. At times it can be a challenge. It's just a reality when you're in a family and you work together, there are stresses. And that's why I said to the staff, hey, I'd like to have us do a conference just for those guys and ladies and young and old that work together in a family business, and they want to do it God's way, and they want to be successful, and they want to bring together the family, which is an unconditional love, with the conditional aspect of a business, figure out how to move from one generation to the next, how to communicate, you know, how the practicality of getting along with each other, how to plan for the financial and health care issues and all the practical things that go on in a family business, family-run business. And so we set this up, and we've got a great response, and we're only 2 weeks away from today. It's going to be at the Biltmore Resort in Phoenix, and they're working with us as far as rooms and so on for those flying in. We have some friends of the ministry helping support to underwrite this, to keep our costs down for you guys as much as we can for a day and a half. Got lunches, we got panel discussions, we got small group discussions, we've got the main sessions. I'll be teaching. John Solheim, the CEO and president of the great family business, the Ping Golf Club Company, sharing. We've got some wonderful teachers coming in. We've got friends of the ministry who are in family business to come and sit on some panel and talk about Q&A. You're going to have some networking opportunities. We're going to pack a lot in a day and a half, and we're going to have fun doing it. It's going to be very practical, succession planning, you know, estate planning, all the things that you're facing. We'll do the best we can with about, I don't know, 12 or 15 teachers and friends coming in to help. But here's the deal. The early registration for this is this Friday, so we have a count, so we can kind of get the food planned with the hotel and so on. And that's why we're encouraging you to register today. We've got a great response as we come down the home stretch, and you can be a part of it. You come alone, maybe represent your family. We've got entire families coming. Young families that are just getting started, a year old to 100-year-old family businesses. Check it out. Get registered today. Go to familybusinessconference.com, familybusinessconference.com. I want to see you there. I want to shake your hand, and I'd love to hear your story.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. If you're having problems with your kids' behavior, our lines are still open for you at 1-888-888-1717. And along those lines, we have a gift for you when you give to Intentional Living. It's the DVD, What Motivates Your Child to Misbehave? Which, strangely enough, is the title of today's program. To find out more, go to our website and click the sliding tile about the DVD, What Motivates Your Child to Misbehave? It's on our homepage at theintentionallife.com. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Do you know that all children, even your kids, use three levels of misbehavior to get attention?
Three? I think my kid's up to 10.
This month, when you become a monthly member or give a gift of any amount, you'll receive Dr. Randy Carlson's DVD, What Motivates Your Child to Misbehave. Plus, you'll be paying forward the daily encouragement you receive from listening to Intentional Living. Visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com from the Intentional Living Center.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Our lines are still open, 1-888-888-1717. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio.
You know, being a kid today, though, is different than when I was a kid. When I was growing up, you know, we watched Gunsmoke and, you know, I Love Lucy on TV, and we didn't have all these safety warnings. You know, kids now, everything has got to be politically correct and safety, and which is good. I understand that. But, you know, as a kid, I was down in the basement playing with a chemistry set. You know, I had sulfuric acid and, you know, stuff blowing up or whatever, and it hitting you in the face, and you'd... Mom would say, well, don't be such a wuss. Just wipe it off and keep going, you know, type of thing. Want a BB gun? Here's a BB gun. Go poke your eye out, type of thing, you know. And bow and arrows and all the things that kids can't have. Some of you grew up with this too, right? It wasn't safer time, but it was a little more fun, I think, than what our kids are facing today. I grew up in a suburb of Detroit. I can remember as a kid. I was probably 12 years old. My mom would let me get on a bus. I'd go right down to the inner city of Detroit to go to a store that I wanted to shop at for some amateur radio stuff, and, you know, stuff you would never allow your kids to do today. Just different times for kids. Times have changed. We have more fear. Parents, you have more fear, more concerns, more busyness, more distractions. If you change how you parent, I can promise you, you can change how your family turns out by being intentional.
That's an excerpt from What Motivates Your Child to Misbehave, the DVD offer this month. Thank you for your support. I'm chuckling. Those were interesting days. Different days, right? I mean, parents, you look at your parents and grandparents, and they'll tell you the stories. It was different raising kids then today. God bless you. I mean, God love you more now than ever. Our passion as a ministry is to help you be successful at the thing that's most important in your life, and that's honoring God through your family and your kids. Okay, Brent, welcome to the program from Michigan today. How are you?
Good, and yourself?
Good, thank you. What's your question?
Good. Well, we're having an age-old struggle with my 11-year-old. Just absolutely cannot get her to keep her room clean for nothing.
Yes.
And it's become a battle in the household because it's starting to spill over into the household. Her mother keeps an immaculate house, so it's really a difficult struggle for us, and I've tried just about everything I can think of.
Now, do you agree with your wife that it's a problem, or are you more supporting your wife and think she overreacts?
No, we both agree it's become a serious problem.
Okay, and is it just like stuff?
There's times where we have to walk through a half a foot of stuff just to get through her closet.
Ah.
I mean, it gets that bad.
What kind of stuff?
Oh, it's everything. It's clothes, it's knickknacks, it's jewelry making stuff, it's Play-Doh, it's anything she gets her hands on. She's a very crafty young lady, and she likes to do crafts a lot, but it's turning into a situation where she'll start one craft and get halfway through it and then abandon that to go do something else and not clean up that mess, and then the next mess becomes another mess, and so on and so forth.
A little ADD about all this, huh?
Yeah, I would definitely say that.
How does she do in life? What's your relationship like? How's she do with friends? How's she do in school and other areas?
She's got three or four really close friends at school. She does okay in school. She's struggling a little bit with a couple of her grades.
But a good kid.
As far as being the parent-child relationship, it's pretty good. She's getting into the stage where she gets a little bit mouthy every now and again, but not usually. She's usually a pretty good kid as far as that goes.
Well, Brent, over the years, as we've talked to parents, and I've talked to hundreds and hundreds of parents on this topic, it's a big issue. And I always tell parents, you know, pick your battles carefully. You know, you want your kids to have it's got to be some level of cleanliness. If there's a fire in the house, you got to be able to get out of the room, you know. And there's got to be some level of cleanliness. So if the health department came in, they didn't close down the house. You've seen some of these hoarding shows that they have on television. I mean, if they're getting in that direction, obviously we've got a serious problem. And training our children to be accountable and respectful of our property is a good thing. What we generally have taught over the years, Brent, is this. Have reasonable expectations. Go in and help your daughter bring it up to a standard that you say, honey, this is what to us is acceptable. This is what's acceptable. You know, we're not asking you to change your life and get rid of the things that you enjoy, but it will be maintained at this level. And there'll be consequences when they're not. And, you know, I remember Kevin Lehman used to say, you know, hire a younger sibling to go clean up the room and take it out of their allowance. I mean, you can come up with some creative things that can be remindful of remind your child that they've got to maintain their own room. It could be that, you know, before we have dinner tonight, I expect that that room is going to be at a certain standard. Or before you go out with your friend tonight, or before you watch TV or go on the computer or do something else, you know, we don't have to fight over it. Just say, if you want to do that, then bring it up to that standard we've gone over. Not going to argue with you. Just bring it up to that standard, and then we'll do a little check, and life is good. In other words, having a reasonable consequence to follow through with your kids. I think that's the way you got to go. That's the intentional approach to parenting. Lovingly, consistent, and moving in a direction that's going to help them for life.
I listened to Randy Carlson today, and I very much appreciated him saying, quote, negative behavior ignored compounds. I very, very much agree with that, and I appreciate that he shared that with listeners. I love his program, and I praise and thank God every day. Thank you. Have a wonderful, blessed day. Goodbye.
Yeah, I didn't even say that today's program, but it's true. Negative behavior ignored compounds. You've seen that. We see it with kids. We see it on the streets of America, don't we? I mean, let's face it. If it gets ignored, it just compounds. It doesn't go away. And our homes, as a parent, we talk about parenting up and powering down. This today, we've really focused on the special offer for this month. In fact, that's what the title of the program has been, What Motivates Your Child to Misbehave? Well, sin, obviously, in the world, we all live in that. We all have misbehavior. So this isn't about perfection parenting, parents. This isn't about raising a perfect child, and it's certainly not about being a perfect parent. It's about being an intentional parent, parenting up, powering down, having confidence as a parent, setting standards, following through, loving your kids, discipline as training, discipline not as punishment, but as training, and getting on the same page. Mom and dad together, if you're together, what a powerful message. If you're a single parent, God love you. As a single mom, don't let those sons run over you. You know, you're setting a standard, teaching them what it's like to respond and to a woman. And as a mom, to show that kind of positive strength and confidence is really important. It's our gift to you as you share with the ministry the best gift you can this month. We need your help. If you believe in this ministry, share your gift. If you're joining us monthly, thank you. What motivates your child to misbehave? You can get that with your gift today by going to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. And then just a final reminder about the Family Business Conference, because this is the last week for early registration. So get registered today. We want to see you there. I want to shake your hand. We're going to have a great time, families and business. Go to familybusinessconference.com, familybusinessconference.com. All right. I'll see you. We'll see you next time.